Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Monday morning. It is September 26th, and you're going to get the rambling, Allison, today. No, don't go away. It's good rambling. I have a lot of great stuff to share with you today. Just this weekend was just filled with God's just speaking to my heart through scripture, through friends, through God's sentence, and I just want to share everything with you. So since my guest today, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger, was not able to join me after all, you are stuck with me alone. And I think that was God's design. I really do, because I have so many exciting things to share with you. Let's start. Where should we start? Let's start with Godsidence. I love that word. Isn't that a great word? For me, it is that moment where the rest of the world goes, wow, that was a crazy coincidence. But I see God in it. I know some people say God winks, God smiles, God incidences. But for me, just Godsidence. Like, that's just, that word came to me at least 10 years ago now. I think I started saying Godsidence, and I know I'm not the only one who uses it, but I'm pretty close to be the only one who uses that particular version of it. But that moment where you just know that that's God, you know, like, you can't say, God, show yourself to me, and then have these crazy weird things happen and then go, oh, dismiss them. That was weird. What a weird coincidence. No, it's a Godsidence. And I'm feeling more and more and more every day that these are one of the ways our Lord presents himself to us. And it wasn't just me who saw that. Just the other day, just randomly on my coffee table, but underneath my coffee table. I have one of those coffee tables that has multiple layers because and drawers, because Allison is really, like, I've long been addicted to books, and they are everywhere, and I always have 100 of them going at once. I rarely read one book from cover to cover before starting the next book. I'm just so enthralled by all the different things that people are saying, and I do only read now Catholic authors, Catholic books. It's just what I choose. It's not like there's no good secular books out there, but when you only have so much time and you have to fill your time the way you feel God is calling you to fill your time, I feel like I can barely get through all the good Catholic books, fiction and nonfiction. So why spread myself out? Anyway, there was a book underneath that I had long forgot. And I know I'm going to say his name incorrect because it's French. And even though I married a French guy, as Marcel Lejeune learned on Friday, it doesn't mean I can say it. I can speak it. So it's Jean de Cochade. Cochade. I'm saying it like a Portuguese girl. You can see that, right? I love the link up. But this wonderful saint, his book is The Abandonment, Abandonment to Divine Providence. It really is about giving your complete self to God. And in it, I was reading just, I do a lot of random reading because I feel like the Holy Spirit guides me. If you just pray and say, what do you want me to know today, God? What is it you're trying to teach me? And then you read, it's amazing what God will teach you in those moments. So this one I opened up last week, and it was all about how God reveals himself in the ordinary every day of our life. And I thought, that's me. That's my life. Like, I always think I'm crazy because I see God in the butterflies and in the fidelity trucks and in the roses, the purple flowers, the scriptures, the random things that people say. I don't feel like this world is all that random. I really feel like this world is just God designed and on a path, and it's beautiful. And it gets me so excited when I see I'm not the only one who feels that way. And this came right from a saint. So this has kind of rejuvenated me. I've been in a pretty big ministerial funk, for lack of a better word. I don't know what kind of work you do, but I'm sure you go through that same period of work, 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 and then there's no reward for it. At least you don't see the reward. Either you don't hear people saying to you, like, thank you for doing this, or, you know, that really touched my heart, or good job, or whatever it is you need to feel like at least somebody recognizes what you're doing. And of course, with ministry, it's different because I'm supposed to be humble. I'm supposed to be waiting for the Lord to, you know, increase or send me that consolation. I'm not supposed to be seeking that, but as my spiritual director will well tell you, it's my personality. I like affirmation. I like the occasional pat on the back. I can't help it. I wish I wasn't. I really do, but I'm working on it. But I get very discouraged when I work and work, and it feels like other people are getting all these great opportunities, people are following them. And I don't mean like following them for themselves, but hopefully following them to get closer to Christ. It's like, I feel like the Lord's given me all these great gifts and talents, and I want to share them, and I just feel stuck. And I just feel discouraged and just not like I am making headway. And you know, still financially, we started this really difficult journey last November. Here we are almost a year later. We're a tiny bit better off, but we're certainly not better off. And, you know, I'm feeling the pressure from my husband, rightfully so, to consider whether to get a quote-unquote real job. I hate when they say that. I have another family member that's always telling me, you know, whenever I start to complain or get a little discouraged, I've learned now not to go to them for consolation, because all I'm going to hear is, well, fine, good. Now perhaps you'll get a real job. And that's so hard for me, because this is more than a job. I feel like this is a call that, you know, lots of people have lots of skills to do different things. And this seems to be my call to take scripture and to turn it into a lesson, into an encouragement, and to turn people closer to God and to inspire their hearts to seek Him. And I feel like that is what I'm called to do, but it's really hard because I live in a world that doesn't care that this is what I feel called to do and doesn't want to pay for it. And I see that again and again in all my friends who are in ministry. We're all so discouraged because this world requires an income, and the same world doesn't want to pay an income to people who want to share the word of God. And we have to really rely on the providence of God, as St. John de Cassad talks about. And I want to, and I can see it. And in hindsight, I can see where He's provided. But there is some things coming, and my heart is getting very anxious. And I was just very discouraged at this, especially this last week. You know, just very discouraged and feeling very overwhelmed and worried. And I went to the bank on Friday to take out money for my son, and got a balance, and it was less than I expected. And it really spiraled me into this deep despair. And I went, luckily, I was from there going to adoration for 2 hours, because I was going to go early so I could drop him off there. And I said, well, if I'm going to drop you off near the church, I might as well go and spend time with Jesus, because that seemed like the best answer to my problem. And that's, I guess, one of the upsides of working for Jesus, is that's where you get to go when you need that consolation. You know, like, just go to the boss. Let me go talk to the boss for a bit. So I went to talk to the boss for a bit, and I spent about an hour, you know, kind of going from kneeling to having my face down on the ground to sitting in the pew with kneeling, my head down, just begging the Lord, like, what do you want? Like, I'm so sorry, but I just need to know, like, what do you want from me? I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you want someone to answer you. You want someone to just kind of shake it up and say, okay, here's what I need you to do. Here's the answer to your problem. And sometimes, I got to be honest, sometimes I get it, and sometimes the Lord makes me wait. Luckily, on Friday, I feel like he didn't make me wait. Okay, so I have to give you a true confession, first of all. After praying for a while, I really felt this need for prayer, to be covered in prayer as I was praying. Like I need some backup. It's like, sometimes you just need some backup prayer. And I'm very blessed to have lots of good friends who are prayer warriors. And so I sent off a text, yes, while in adoration, to a friend that's a huge prayer warrior and another one who's a priest, and the three of us usually pray together. And after a little consolation from the both of them, and I had had my Bible in my lap, and I'd kind of like, I don't even know how it got to this page. I think I was looking for something when I saw the text beep, and I'm kind of like Pavlov's dog when the text didn't beep, but the color changes on your phone. So I picked it up. And after we spoke for a while, I looked down and I was like, Romans 10. And here's what I read, and we'll talk about it more after the break. But here's what I read in Romans 10, 14 through 15. As I'm asking God, what do you want me to do? And he said, how then will they call on him, capital H, in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Well, I could have dismissed that as the craziest coincidence ever, or that I'm reading into things, but I decided to read into this, that the Lord is calling me to preach, to share the good news, to bring it to those who need to hear the message. If you know somebody who needs to hear this message, please share A Seeking Heart with them. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about Godsidences. That is those moments in life where most people might go, oh, what a weird coincidence. But Allison says, oh, God is here in my midst, making himself known to me. It's such a joy to have those moments. And I have to be honest that I have them quite often, to the point where I'm pretty sure people think I read into things or go seeking for them. But I think that's really the most important point I want to make, is that I do not seek them. I recognize them. And there are moments when I try to seek them and nothing happens. Like, there'll be days where I really need to hear from God, and I will be taking my walk outside, the one I take every single day as I pray the rosary, and I will be looking desperately for a sign from the Fidelity truck or whatever, and the Lord will, white trucks will go by blank, actually. It makes me laugh. The Lord's like, no, not now, not on your terms. It needs to be organic. Like, it has to come from God in his time and in his way. And I can't create these things. I can't make butterflies show up when I want them to. I can't make friends call me out of the blue. I cannot make scripture pop up in my face. Even though I know the scriptures very well, I still don't really know where everything is. And I certainly can't control the way that books open. Like, if you say, oh, it's, you know, it's dog-eared, you go to that page a lot. No, quite often when that happens, when the Lord speaks to me through scripture, I've been like, oh, I didn't even know this scripture existed. Still, after 10 years of studying scriptures. I'm still blown away. It's what makes it the living, breathing, dynamic word of God. And just on Saturday, I was at a wedding. My friend Sandra got married. Beautiful wedding. I have to share this really funny kind of side story for just a minute. So it was a very small wedding, and we were so honored to be included in her special day. And I was so excited to be at the Mass. I love Catholic wedding masses. The liturgies are just beautiful. And a lot of our friends do very special things. Like they will go and spend a moment while they're, you know, the organist is singing Ave Maria, they'll go and spend a moment with Mary, a statue of Mary, or bring flowers to Mary. They're beautiful. There's so many different ways that you can personalize your liturgy and just make your Mass, your wedding ceremony so special. This, however, was something I had never experienced before. Very small crowd. Their groom, not Catholic. So I understood that the right side of the church would be mostly non-Catholic, so they wouldn't be participating. But the left side, I expected a little bit more from. And I don't know, honestly, I don't know if it's because we were at the very back of the church that we couldn't hear everybody else, but it felt like we were the only two responding. In fact, the first time we responded in our normal loud voices. My husband is 6'2". He kind of towers over the world. And, you know, we make our response and we kind of like look at each other like, I don't hear anybody else. It's not often you're the last person in the congregation. So perhaps, and I do know that her family is very Portuguese. And so and part of it, I'm sure, because I know that she has a very faithful family, was probably that it was in English and they probably know it better in Portuguese. But it was just this really funny, but in a way, it was also such a gift to be this great example and to hopefully be somebody people could look to or listen to while the liturgy of the ceremony was happening. But honestly, I've never seen a bride more radiant, more excited. I actually told her husband to keep pins away from her because she was so inflated. I was afraid she'd pop. Like she was so cute. So I just wished all the best to Sandra and Thomas. What a blessing truly to be part of that ceremony and that day. But you know, that day was very, very busy. But during it, I got this message from my friend Kristen, who is like completely my spiritual sister. Like she's in ministry as well. We go through a lot of the same ups and downs and struggles. And she's in a very different, she's in LA, she's an actress, she's incredible. And it just seems like whenever I'm really in the middle of a battle, a spiritual battle, it seems like she comes and calls at that very moment or reaches out to me. I'm sure you have a friend just like that. I remember once, I'm not even very close to my mother, but I remember once several years ago, I just had this real nudge on my heart from the Holy Spirit to call my mother. And the minute she picked up the phone, she burst into tears. And I was like, are you okay? And she said, I was just asking the Lord to send somebody. And there you, and then you called. I'm like, oh, that's how God works. He so hears us. And I'm not saying that if you say that and nobody called, it doesn't mean God hasn't heard you. He just wants to be his consolation. I don't know God's mind. I don't ever pretend to. I don't know why sometimes he sends consolations and sometimes he holds them back. I'm sure it has to do with our spiritual maturity or the question that we're asking and how he needs to be the answer, like he did in adoration on Friday when I opened up to Romans 10. And the really crazy thing also about that Romans 10 is that when I read the entire thing, a lot of the words that Father Matthew and my friend Alexis had been using in our conversation were in that context, were in that text. It was crazy. Like, I love that. It really did feel like this call from God, this answer, like, yes, I've called you to preach. I've called you to continue in your work. And if not you, who? And if nobody's out there telling people how awesome God is and these God-cidences, right? Like showing that God is in the everyday ordinary, that don't dismiss that and think, oh, that was weird. Think, oh, that was God. Like, and you got to be careful. My spiritual director, Deacon Jerry, warns me all the time, especially when I'm teaching about God's sentences, to be very careful. You know, don't, it's not like it's a magic crystal ball. Like, oh, Lord, am I going to win the lottery? And then, you know, some number plate drives by or whatever. For me, God's sentences are just these little kisses from the King that remind me that he's with me, that he's here, that I'm not alone, that I've not been abandoned nor forsaken as he promises in his word. Sometimes they give direction, but more often they just give me encouragement, consolation, hope, joy. They just lift me and remind me I'm not alone. They're like that grace that he is with me. So when I got this message during the wedding from Kristen that she was, you know, we have a 3-hour time difference. For us to connect is nearly impossible. And for her to say, hey, I'm home tonight, can we chat? And be like, oh, I'm at the wedding, but of course, the 3-hour time difference, I'll be done in about an hour. I hope you're still around. And she was. The Lord kept her home, which is remarkable because she lives in LA. There's a lot of fun nightlife on a Saturday night. And she was home. We got to pray together. We got to pray over this Romans 10 together. And I think that's such a gift of godly friendship. I don't know if you have that in your life. I pray it for you. I pray that if you have not yet found somebody who shares your faith or shares the journey of your faith, that you pray and reach out and find somebody who you can build to a comfort level where you can be online or on the phone or in person, and you can together pray the scriptures, pray for the Lord's blessing and outpouring of his grace upon you, upon your work, upon your life and your family or whatever situation you know that you really want to see God in, or you need God to show you that he is in. I mean, he is in everything. But sometimes we need to be reminded, we need to be shown that he is in everything. Like I was sharing last week that I have this, not a pain in my side yet, it's still there, but it comes and it goes. And I really, I feel like I need to just for 3 days not touch it. Like every time I pray, I feel like our Blessed Mother says, don't touch it for 3 days and it'll go away, because it's not a pain and it comes and it goes. And if I'm not thinking about it, it ain't there and it doesn't wake me in my sleep and I don't have any other symptoms, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'm sick, but I don't think I am. And I was sitting with the scriptures the other day and I was having this moment and be like, oh, what's wrong? Like something wrong with me. And I look down on the scriptures and there's just these three words, you will live. I think, all right, God, that's funny. You have the best sense of humor. You will live. And I know that there's the mind is a very powerful thing. I know that I battle anxiety and hypochondria. And I feel like I'm not the only one who deals with this fear that there will be something wrong, that our, you know, our hopes and our dreams will never come to fruition because we'll die before it happens. And I feel like I have to say these things out loud because I think this is what my cross is, and I want to help you carry it if this is your cross too. If you are constantly worried and you feel like your joy is being snuffed out by fear, discouragement, despair, a loss of hope, doubt, know that I too experience that, and that God wants to be our hope and he wants to be our joy. And in fact, the book I'm going to look at for the rest of today's show was one that my friend Kristen sent me many years ago. And it's called The Comforter, The Spirit of Joy by Father Andrew Apostoli. And this is out from St. Paul's Abba House Press. And it was just put on my heart this morning to share it with you. And the fact that I could find it, I feel like that was a definite sign that the Lord wanted us to talk about how he is our consolation, how he is our hope. Hope and our joy and our help. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about God's sentences and about God trying to break through to our everyday ordinary with His joy, His hope, His love. And we can see Him in the ordinary of our day. And I wanted to share that it doesn't always have to be specifically spiritually related. For instance, on Saturday morning before the wedding, I went to my Weight Watchers meeting. I did not want to go. So here is a little bit more into my brain. And I know I'm not the only one who has this brain. And I can't wait to someday meet you because I know you have this brain. Because you wouldn't still be listening if you didn't you didn't connect with me in some way, shape, or form. So with this thing going on my side, which again, it's not all the time. It comes, it goes. I've lost all this weight in my stomach and I think it's just a fat roll. But anyway, here we go. More true confessions of Allison. So one of the things I do when I start to feel anxious is I start to spend a lot of time on mayoclinic.com. Why not just go to the doctor? Because I would live there, quite honestly. So I go and I look to see if there's anything I should be looking for. And mostly I checked every different kind of cancer you could check. It's kind of what I do. And they all talked about fatigue. I don't have any fatigue and all these different, like nothing else is going on. There's no bathroom changes. You're welcome. there's nothing. But it talked about weight loss, unexplained weight loss. So this is how Allison's brain works. So I did have some weight loss. But it was, walking every single day and doing Weight Watchers, but it started to make me nervous. So I have these self-sabotaging behaviors. Perhaps you do as well. And so to prove that I was healthy and okay, and that my appetite was fine, and I wasn't getting filled 2 seconds after I ate, I was eating. And I knew when I woke up Saturday and got on my scale that I didn't want to go get on their scale. But I also knew that if I missed it, I hadn't missed one yet since I started in May. I knew that if I missed it, that would start a downward spiral. And even though I'm not a big fan of the meetings, I usually get something out of them. So I forced myself to go to the meeting. And my friend was sitting there, and I usually sit next to her, but somebody had already taken that seat. So I looked at her, and she goes, "How was your week?" And I really didn't want to be here. And she laughed, and she said, "If I had a Bravo sticker," it's these little star stickers that literally say the word Bravo on it. And if you share something good that week, your leader can give you one for your little success book that you keep. She said, "If I had a Bravo sticker, I would give it to you for coming." And I laughed and I went to take the seat behind her and I moved the pamphlet that somebody had put there, and under there was a unused Bravo sticker, which of course the two of us cracked up. So I sat down and I said, "Well, I put the Bravo sticker aside. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to keep this or not. That's not really it's not mine." But no one came back for it. So end of the story, totally took it, by the way. You saw that coming. But before that, I had put, every week you get a little pamphlet that tells you what the week is, what our discussion for the meeting is going to be. But I didn't look at it yet. I just put it on my lap and happened to put it down face down. And I took out my phone to send to my support group. We have a little text group that goes that I gained 1.4 pounds. Okay. I also put on jeans, which I've been wearing shorts all summer. So we're going to at least half of that had to be my big old jeans. But that aside, I definitely gained weight, which I knew I had. And I wrote to my friends and I said, up this week, 1.4 pounds, just going to get back on track by tracking. Because really, with anything, when you write things down, I'm a journaler to begin with. When you write things down, it helps give you patterns, helps give you hindsight. It really, you can't lie to yourself. Like, there's good things about tracking. And with it, I said, I really want to track, my moods and what's happening and try to get past these self-sabotaging behaviors. Well, a few seconds later, I send off the message, the leader comes out, I turn over the pamphlet, and that is what our entire meeting was about. Exactly what I sent, about tracking, about looking for patterns, about getting back on track, literally when you sabotage yourself. Like, it was crazy. So I really see that the Lord has not just created us to leave us here uncared for, unprotected. He is with us in every single aspect of our life, in our finances, in our families, in our work, in our car troubles, in our family love and disagreements, in everything. He sees us, he knows, and he loves us. And the fact that I'm always trying to put him in a box and keep him just for Sunday morning or just for spiritual matters is ridiculous. It's sad because he's so much bigger than all of that. And, you know, I can get so easily discouraged. And again, going back just to a little bit about work, and then we're going to look at Father Apostolet's book, The Comforter, The Spirit of Joy. You know, just yesterday, somehow through one of my Facebook groups, there was a list of 24 Catholic women making a difference, and they had updated. I didn't make the 24. Hello, humility. Then they updated it to make like the honorable mention list, and they added about 12 more names. Yeah, still wasn't there. Hello, humility again. That was like so sad, and I thought, wait, I'm not making a difference. And then I noticed there was a lot of other great women in ministry working really hard who weren't on that list either. And, you know, one of the things that I do have to work on is my humility and my envy. And here is an opportunity for double shot whammy to work on both. I have to say I closed it without sharing it, which I know was not a way of getting past that envy. One of the ways, the opposite of virtue of envy is admiration. And so I do feel like this whole show, the Lord is using the I have this admiration for all these authors, and sharing their work is definitely a way that he's helped chisel away at that envy. But anyone who's worked in an office, seen somebody get accolades for work you've done, or you've done the same thing somebody else has done, but somehow they get noticed first, their idea gets picked up, and you thought, I've had that idea, I've said that a million times, why them and not me? It's so easy to get angry and bitter and envious, and that's exactly what the evil one, the devil, wants us to do. He wants us to get wrapped up in our own emotions, our own anger, our own pity parties, and not move forward. But the Lord has given each and every one of us our own special collection of gifts and talents, messages that only we can give, and whatever that is. Even if you're a nurse and there's 100 nurses that you work with, you still only can be the nurse you are. There's a certain gift that you have in your vocation as a nurse that nobody else has. Perhaps you're the one who gets that needle in every time, first time. If there's a hard to find needle or there's a child patient, they all come looking for you and say, you need to be the one to help us with this patient because I've tried, or I don't want to hurt them. Or perhaps you're the teacher, and there's lots and lots of teachers, but yet you're the only one who is able to get through to little Johnny, who perhaps is just too hyper or has trouble learning stuff, like maybe his cognitive is lower, but you can get through to him. There's something that each and every one of us has been given that only we can do, whatever it is we're called to do. So I know that in my ministry, perhaps it's God's sentences, which is Kristen was talking to me about on Saturday. She's like, that's just such a special message, something that other people have talked about, but you live so fully every single day, and part of your whole faith, your understanding of God comes through this gift of seeing God's sentences and how he speaks to you in scripture and how he speaks to you through nature and through even Mack trucks driving by. Don't think that the Lord isn't listening, that he isn't giving you something special. Don't get discouraged by envy and just this world around us. And you know, yes, we all need a little affirmation in what we do. And this is one of the things that the Father Apostoli talks about in his book, The Comforter. The Holy Spirit wants to be our comforter. The Holy Spirit wants to be the one who breaks through our darkness, our quiet, our souls. And he wants to be the one that floods it. He says, finally, Father Apostoli writes, there comes that joy which floods our souls when we possess the one we love and are in turn possessed by him. Rejoice in the Lord always, St. Paul tells us. And I love Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the world. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Everyone should see how unselfish you are. The Lord is near. Dismiss all anxiety from your mind, St. Paul writes. Present your needs to God in every form of prayer and in petition, full of gratitude. Then God's own peace, which is beyond all understanding, will stand guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is one of my favorite verses, put in such a beautiful way here in Father Apostoli's book, The Comforter. We have one more segment to go, and I promise to give all my attention to this book. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Here at Breadbox Media, we have a way for you, the listener, to become a friend of the show. You're already my friend, and you know that I pray for you. I hope that if you ever need more intense prayer, more any kind of direction or just help, that you'll reach out to me. You can always send me a message over at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com, or even easier, allison@breadboxmedia.com. Or you can go over to reconciledtoyou.com and go to my blog. There's always something there I think you'll find encouraging and helpful on your spiritual journey. But there's also something else that you can do here for on Breadbox Media, is become a friend of the show. And your support goes 100% to me, to the host, Allison Gingras, or whatever show you choose. Mm-hmm. It goes straight to me. Nothing goes to Breadbox. It's one of the things they're very generous about allowing us to do, is to ask you to become a friend of the show. And for a donation of $10 or more a month, you become a premium member. And that includes your choice of a cute, adorable little prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet made by me and my friend Lori. Danny and Allison, yours are on the way, by the way. I know I was going to let you be surprised, but I think you should know. Finally, they're on their way. You also have extra entries into each week's giveaway. And I should say each week's, but every giveaway, which happens at least once a month. And we have some really good stuff coming up, especially from Little Drops of Water. Wait till you see the cute stuff I have to give away from them. And you also are invited to be part of our once a month Google Hangout, which happens this Wednesday. It's the last Wednesday of the month. We will be having our Google Hangout at 8:30 Eastern Time. I have to move it a little later, but 8:30 Eastern Time, we will have a Google Hangout for the friends of the show. I hope that you will consider becoming a friend of the show and joining before Wednesday so you can be a part of our wonderful Google Hangout when you can ask questions and I can hear your voice and we can share God's love together. So, friend of the show, go to breadboxmedia.com. You can find the link there. And I hope you will choose to become a friend of Allison Gingras here on A Seeking Heart. Now, Father Apostoli, this wonderful book my friend Kristen gave to me, and I wish I could have found, I usually write dates and stuff of when I received it or started to write in it. I write all over my books. It's got to be at least 6 years old. I'm thinking it either came before or after. Everything is before or after faith in our house. We measure time by when we adopted faith. It's pretty funny. It's so encouraging. I absolutely love this book. And she knew, you know, she was shopping and she, it's an extra special gift from her because I know that she is I wouldn't say struggling actor in Hollywood, but any actor in Hollywood lives on a budget. So I was very, very honored. And she's right. The Comforter, The Spirit of Joy by Father Andrew Apostoli out from St. Paul's Press is definitely something I relied on then and am excited to have refound today. There are important lessons, Father Apostoli writes, in the joy of Our Lady for all of us. We should ask her to be near us always so that we may experience the inner joyfulness she radiates. Even in our times of trial and suffering, according to St. Bonaventure, we should also ask Our Lady to obtain for us gifts she herself possessed, souls that, quote-unquote, proclaim the greatness of the Lord, and spirits that find joy in God our Savior. And, of course, that's from the Magnificat. You can read the whole Magnificat at Luke 1, 46 through 48, actually. Yeah, that's the small part, but you can read the whole thing in Luke 1. With Our Lady as mother and model, we can walk joyfully along the path of life, both in good times and in bad. Our Lady, while on earth, was the woman of the joyful mysteries as well as the sorrowful. Now in heaven, she is forever the woman of the glorious mysteries. And of course, those are the three mysteries of the Rosary. If you've not ever prayed a rosary, you can send me a message, allison@breadboxmedia.com. I will not only send you a link so you can get started immediately, I will send you hand-knotted rosaries along with some really great materials, a book on praying the rosary. If this is something you want to know more about and need some support in, please send me a message over allison@breadboxmedia.com and I'll make sure you get connected. This is a powerful prayer, one I used to think was just for old people until I needed to rely on it. And now I see the power in praying the rosary. It's also a great way of learning our faith. It's very meditative in helping us to meditate on the life of Mary and Christ. And of course, anytime we talk to Mary or anytime we spend time thinking about Mary's life, it just draws us closer to Christ. She just always points us to her Son. Now in heaven, Father Apostoli writes, she is forever the woman of the glorious mysteries. If we are faithful, the Holy Spirit will keep us close to her joys and sorrows as we journey on our pilgrimage of faith in this life, so that in eternity we may share with her the endless glory of her divine Son. How proper it is that we invoke Our Lady in the litany as cause of our joy. That's pretty powerful stuff. He goes on, oh my gosh, I have so many marks here. I don't even know what to read you. But I did talk in the last segment about how a lot of what's going on for me right now, I feel like is a spiritual attack. I feel like when we are trying to grow closer to God, not at the beginning, I think like when you're quote unquote a baby Christian, when you're just starting, the Lord just protects us in a different way. He helps us to build up our spiritual muscles by little exercises. You know, the walk around the park. He doesn't ask you to do the heavy lifting yet. It's when you start to build those spiritual muscles that I feel you get a heavier test. Like, Lord's like, you're not going to grow if you just keep doing the same thing, but you're strong enough now to try the sprints, or, you know, that running between telephone poles that some people do when they're going from walking to trying to learn how to jog or run. A few years ago, I ran the Disney half marathon. Now I think I'd get winded driving 13.5 miles. But back then, I was a lot younger, 10 years ago, and I was able to prepare. But it took me to start walking. And then again, that running between poles and then running a little longer and finally able to run an entire mile. And it took a very, in fact, the only day I ever ran the 13.5 miles was that day in January in Disney. Never ran it before, never ran it since. But I did prove that through that training, through that building up of my muscle and my stamina, I was able to do it. And I think that that's exactly what happens with us spiritually. It's gradual. We build those muscles. We learn through our training, through our time with scripture, with God, with prayer, with sacrament. We build up those spiritual muscles. And then it gets to a point where the Lord's like, okay, it's time for you now to run that marathon. And he's not going to always, you know, carry you through it. He's going to be there with you. He does not abandon you, but he needs you to see that you can do it. I love Deacon Jerry will say that I need to stop looking back. Like when you're riding a bicycle for the first time, you know, you let go of it. And if the child looks back at you, they're going to crash. They need to know that they have every spiritual ability, not spiritual ability to ride a bike, but in this analogy, you need to know that the Lord has given you every grace and blessing that you need to do what he's called you to do, and just to go and do it. And as you grow, you get someone's attention, you really do get the demon, the evil one's attention. And one thing I never knew about the devil that I think is really important for me to share is that he is not the opposite of God. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. He is not all anything. He is a fallen angel. He is the opposite of Saint Michael, whose feast day, by the way, is the 29th. I think it's all the guardian angels, but at least Saint Michael, the 29th of September. We have to recognize that he does prowl the world, as St. Peter said, looking for souls to devour, and he will try to upset our apple cart by giving us these, and he uses our own brains, which makes me even more angry. Like, I have anxiety, I have hypochondria, and it's a little button that just needs to be pushed by a pain in my side or a twinge here or even reading something. And I become my own worst enemy. So to rely on the consolation of God means to remember that he's always with me, that he's given me every blessing and grace that I need to battle those thoughts, those worries, those fears. And even if they become reality, I still have the hope of him beyond this world. This is not the end. This is not all that we have. And we have to continue to seek him and to open our hearts to allow him to move in us. And therefore, we will find joy. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is forever. It cannot be shaken in my circumstances. And that is our lesson for today, to keep our eyes open for those God-cidences, keep our eyes open for God in our everyday, ordinary lives, in the butterflies, in the songs, in the words of the books that we are reading, and maybe even through the voice of one not so humble radio show host. I hope you will go to breadboxmedia.com, check out Friend of the Show so that you're able to join us on Wednesday, September 28th at 8:30 Eastern Time for our Google Hangout. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.